Welcome to Manage Tools. Presenting in Zoom, part two. This cast answers these questions. Do you have tips on how to make a presentation over Zoom? How can I be most effective when presenting on a video call? Is there a checklist for Zoom presentations? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
If you've been enjoying the daily Things I Think mails during the COVID crisis, consider purchasing a license so that you'll continue to hear from Mark every week. Things, as we call it, is by turns thought-provoking, moving, informative, and sometimes silly, but never dull. Why would you want to miss it? To purchase a license, head to the website and look for personal license under products.
Now we're going to go give you some time hacks. 10 minutes before starting, what do? You launch Zoom by clicking on the meeting invite link. Don't launch Zoom on its own, naked, and then type in a meeting code. You end up getting a different experience. You want to click on the meeting link so that it will open the same way everybody else's does. And you want to learn to do it the same way every time so you don't have to think about it. Next, if you want to be clever, when the meeting opens up, in the before you start your video, before you start your audio, in the Zoom dialog box, you'll notice there's a bunch of black text on white, assuming you have the standard setup. And you'll notice there's a bit of blue type. And it says, copy link. We recommend you click on that. And so now, in the clipboard of your computer, is the link to the event. That way, if anybody needs it on short notice, you don't have to go find it, click and drag and something, and email somebody. You can immediately just drop it into an email. It's sitting there waiting for you. You can drop it into a Slack message or what have you, and people can get to it quite quickly. You could even Slack it to another person in the session, or you could chat it to someone in the session and they could send it for you so you can get back to presenting. At this point now, you want to join the meeting by turning on your audio and video. The meeting will, by the way, Zoom, if you're not the first one there, now of course you will be because you just opened the link. But when you do that, your audio and video are not on. And so people will know that you're there, but you won't be a part of the meeting in the sense of being able to interact. So you click on Start Video, which is the bottom left-hand side of your Zoom window, and you also click on Unmute. Okay. Next, you check your sound, both your microphone and your speaker. I'm amazed at how many people get on Zoom calls, whether they're presenting or not presenting, and they don't realize they're on speaker. They don't realize you can't hear them. They don't realize that the camera is not their main camera. It's the one from their monitor as opposed to their laptop or something. And surely I don't have to say it. It's not in this abbreviated checklist. But guys, you cannot present with a webcam that is anything other than directly in front of you. You cannot be sitting at a desk facing, let's say, north and have your webcam come from the northeast on a separate monitor. It's simply, it's incredibly disconcerting. It feels like, are we interrupting this guy? Was he doing email and now he's talking to us?
Yeah.
It is weird. And weird is generally not associated with professionally good results. How do you check your sound? Click the up arrow to the right of the microphone icon you just clicked to unmute yourself and click Test Speaker and Microphone in the menu. Follow the steps. It's a really good interface. It's certainly better than Skype. No offense, Microsoft, but gee whiz. I think there's like 5 clicks to find out whether or not I'm using my Jabra wireless headset or my microphone for recording. Or some other microphone when I'm on a Skype call. But this one says, click to check your audio and then check your microphone.
Well, Slack's even worse. Slack, audio call. You actually have to start the audio to get to the settings. Oh, it's just crazy.
Yeah. No, not doing it. If you have a standard repeated setup that you do every time, like we do, you can cheat a little by speaking into your microphone without checking. And if you're hearing sounds, you're okay on the speaker part, but on the microphone part, you can just talk. And if you look real carefully inside the body of the image of the microphone there on the Zoom screen, it turns green. It actually has a meter inside it going up and down. So if you see the green going up and down when you talk, that means the right microphone is capturing your words. You also need to check your video. Click the up arrow to the right of what is now the stop video icon, since you've already turned the video on. Choose video settings and check the image that comes up. Check the rest of the settings as well, just to make sure you've got what you want.
Folks, when we're going through this checklist, these are things that you don't just do the first time you do it. You go through this checklist every
single time.
Otherwise, it's not a checklist. And your settings are going to change. As you do different activities during the day, you're going to make changes. And so let's just understand, using a checklist means using it every time.
Mike, I mentioned this to somebody a couple of months ago, and you'll be astounded to hear this, but we're always astounded to hear this. I mentioned to somebody, they said, you know, I just listen to your podcast. I really like them. They're very helpful. I said, great. I'm really glad. That's why we're doing them, to help people. And they said, you know, do you go over to his house? Does he come over to your house? And I said, no, I'm in California. He's in Washington, D.C. Northern Virginia. And this person couldn't even comprehend it. So just for the record, guys, if you don't know, I'm sitting right now in my home in Pebble Beach, California, sitting at my desk. The microphone I am speaking into and the headphones I'm using are all the ones only that I use when I record podcasts. I don't normally wear these other than recording. Typically, I use a very light Jabra headset to talk on the phone, unless Mike and I are on our iPhones talking to one another. But if I'm on a Zoom call, if I'm on a Skype call, if I'm on a Slack call, not that I can figure that one out, I'm using a different headset. But to give you an idea, folks, I've been presenting for a long time now. Zoom is new. But we got ready to present to clients and to customers the old-fashioned way, by working for hours and hours and hours and hours. And Wendy, who works for me here, created the checklist for us, which we're accepting. This is my tip of the hat to you, Wendy. And I opened my drawer. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm looking out at a street here in Pebble Beach. It's a lovely Saturday morning. And when Mike mentioned that we use the checklist every time, I had forgotten that we're not on a Zoom call, and so I assumed people could see me. That's a rarity. Most Mike and I, we don't assume you can see us when we record audio, and I reached into my desk drawer. I don't know if you could hear it opening and closing. There it is, opening and closing, and reached for my Zoom checklist folder in my file folder drawer here in my desk, and I have 3 copies of the checklist in a folder in my desk. And every time I present, I go through the checklist. I pull one of them out, and I go off the checklist, and I check things off. And I know saying stuff like this gets in real trouble, but I'm a really good presenter. I know what I'm doing. And when it comes to Zoom, there are enough settings, there are enough details. Until I've done it 50, 75, 100 times in a short span so that it has become muscle memory, I will continue to use the checklist. And no offense, the idea that some of y'all who are not presenters but could present, that you're not trainers, but you could train people, that you wouldn't use a checklist. When I use a checklist, I'm sorry. You got no business behaving that way. That's basically telling your audience, I don't care. I'm going to wing it. And here's the problem with that. When you're in the audience and you see it done to you, you hate it. Okay? Maybe that's why we have so much multitasking during meetings. People don't feel respected by the presenter. Mm. And so they give back that lack of respect. I never thought of that.
Good point. Could be.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to get email about being braggy. You know, as we say in Texas, where I used to live, it ain't bragging if you done it.
Now you're absolutely going to get the email.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Just don't mess with Texas. Okay. Now the next thing. So a little bit controversial. We want you to prevent attendee screen sharing. Okay, now, if you want people to share their screen at various times during a meeting, which you could do, there are certainly situations where we would do it as well, you wouldn't do this step. But for the vast majority of presentations or trainings, you would. You'll go to the screen sharing icon at the bottom in the middle of the screen. Click the up arrow to the right of it. Select advanced sharing options. Leave the number of people who can share at the same time as one. Okay. And then ensure only host is checked under the question associated with the question, who can share? Okay. So now it's only yours. Nobody else is going to do it. You're presenting. This is not an open forum for discussion. You might allow other people to talk. That's great. But that's typically not what happens during a presentation or a training. Okay, we have to learn to distinguish the various modes of communication we have and not make the medium the only mode. But having a brainstorming session or having a series of small short presentations by people or having an open discussion, all are different modes of communication for which we all have an understood, agreed upon rules of the road or ground rules for those kinds of modes in a meeting. When we're face to face, but when we go into Zoom, suddenly, oh, everything's the same. It has to be the same all the time. Not true.
Manager Tools is coming to Austin June 23rd and 24th with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. Virtual conferences are great. And if you are looking for the in-person experience, this is your chance. So register today at manager-tools.com/training to join us there.
Okay, the next thing, many of you aren't going to like this, prevent attendees chatting.
What?
One of our clients said, no, you can't host the meeting because if you did, you would prevent attendees chatting. And we want our attendees to be able to chat to one another. Really? Is that what you do? You sit in a session and you send texts to each other in front of the presenter? I got to tell you, most people don't have the guts to do that at one of our sessions. Lean over and chat with one another. We have a ground rule. We say no sidebar conversations. And, you know, people don't open their laptops and start chatting back and forth between one another. And the people that are on their phone constantly in meetings, in our sessions, we ask them politely. In some cases, we ask them to leave, but we also say, gee, how good is that person going to be implementing this guidance or making a recommendation, making a decision based on the briefing they're getting? Probably not very good. So what you do to do that is click chat on the bottom menu, click more, which is three dots at the bottom left, and then choose no one. Okay. Next thing you're going to do is show the participants. You click on the participants button to the left of the chat button. There should be only one you haven't opened the room, if you will, in the vernacular to everyone, even though there may be people in the waiting room. But if you click on the participants button, that opens the participant window to the right of your video screen, and it shows participants by name. And it's in a list format rather than by video spread out across your screen. You're going to need that list during your session. Okay, that's what you do at 10 minutes before. At 5 minutes before, before you're supposed to start, you allow attendees. You bring the attendees in from the waiting room. And how you do that, to admit all the attendees in the waiting room, is in the participant window, click Admit All. Okay. Then, once you've done that, you have to turn off the waiting room. Otherwise, all those people who arrive at 4 and 3 and 2 and 1 are still stuck in the waiting room. Okay. So the way you turn off the waiting room is you click the security shield on the bottom menu, click enable waiting room, which should have a check mark on it before you click it. And when you click it, the check mark will disappear and the waiting room disappears.
And I guess the reason you're doing this is you don't want to, as people arrive in the next 5 minutes, you don't want to have to keep bring them out of the waiting room into the session, right? Is that?
Yeah. There's a physical equivalent to this, which is we go down to our meeting rooms an hour before we're supposed to start the meeting, but the room isn't open. You can't come into the room, you know, at 5 a.m. and start putting your stuff out on a table when we haven't maybe set the room, although usually we set the room the night before. I don't want you coming into the training room and having breakfast with 5 of your colleagues who happen to work near there as if, oh, this is a public space. I can do what I want. That's not right. So the waiting room is a door, really. Right.
It's like shutting the door to the conference room.
Yeah, exactly. And then once you open it, you wouldn't then close it again in somebody's face who's walking down the hall.
Right.
And it will distract you. And frankly, you have enough to do in the final 5 minutes. You'll forget. And there'll be people in the waiting room.
Right. And it's happened. I've been on Zoom calls where that exact thing happens. Like, oh, okay. Oh.
So next, we're going to turn on gallery mode. Okay. So that you can see your attendees arriving. And we, Kate and Sarah and I talk about this a lot when we present. The best days we have is when we walk into the room well in advance of a session. The room is already set up from the night before. There is literally nothing for us to do at all. Actually, we have to hook up our laptop. We don't leave the laptop or the projector, I think, down in the room the night before a presentation at a hotel. And then once that's done, the room is ready and we're ready and we have no more tasks to achieve. We might text the staff or Slack the staff and say, hey, ready in Palo Alto, ready in Denver, ready in Atlanta, ready in Austin, ready in London, whatever. And then you can open the door. And the reason why that's important is when you open the door, you can focus on your attendees. Okay. If attendees start coming 45, 30 minutes before our in-person training sessions, we visit with them. We shake hands. We ask them how they're doing, what company they're from, and so on. We've been briefed, so we know a lot of that. Usually when we hear the name, we know what they do and if they're here with colleagues and so on. But it's the human thing to do, to connect with people interpersonally before you're going to spend 8 hours in a room together. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be done with your admin, and so you go into gallery mode and it's a button in the top right corner of your screen, of your Zoom window, which says gallery view. And it looks like a box made of 6 little smaller boxes. And you click it. The next thing you do is welcome attendees as they appear or come in to the room, which hopefully doesn't require a whole lot of training. It's just say hello to people. Welcome. How are you? And you may very well get into a conversation with one or two of the people while other people are coming in. And that actually helps them have a good experience. They realize you're prepared. You're not fussing around. People aren't awkwardly silent, waiting for whoever's the presenter here to do whatever she's supposed to do. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So now people are in your room. People are streaming in now because you've turned off the waiting room.
And you've done this before, and they know that you do professional presentations, and therefore people are literally streaming into your presentation.
Yes. And something else they probably ought to know, you'll be starting promptly. 2 minutes before starting, now you set up screen sharing. So wherever you're chatting or whatever, your clock shows you have 2 minutes. Say, guys, hey, I got to step away briefly from this chat while I prepare to begin. It's a bit like standing in the power position for those people who are longtime listeners. You need to check whether you're in full screen mode. The way you do that is to look at the top right-hand corner of your Zoom screen. If you see a dotted box, do nothing. If you see exit full screen, then click that. You don't want to be in full screen mode to do what you're about to do. Then you click the share screen icon in the Zoom controls at the bottom of the Zoom window. Can't miss it. Select a dialog box will come up with a number of different views. That work you did with the PowerPoint was important because one of the views will be a view of only that PowerPoint slide, that first slide in your deck. So you'll select that PowerPoint from the options. Don't select your desktop, your entire computer desktop. I did that the other day, stupidly. You select that PowerPoint, you click it, and then you click the share button. When you do that, a new control bar will show up, and you need to check that there is a green box and a red box underneath the bar. One, by the way, will have your meeting ID, which if you need it, it's always there when you're doing the session, and you can read it to somebody, and they could send it to somebody, and somebody wouldn't need the link. They could just enter the meeting ID to get to you, okay? The other thing in the green and red bar, it has a button that you can click to stop sharing your screen. If there is not a button that says stop share, you're not sharing. Go back a step and make sure you have to click on the bar, right on the bar when you're using it. Okay. Now look, some people prefer to get rid of the view of themselves. You can do that, particularly if you've got 25 people and your face is just one more amongst them and you know what you're doing. You don't need to see yourself in the crowd, if you will. You can do that and you hover over your own image and you click on the three dots that appear on the top right of your image. And then when you do that, there will be an option to remove self. You will not have left the meeting room. It will simply remove the image of your video from the gallery in front of you. The next thing you're going to do is arrange the windows. And what you'll do is on the new control bar that's come up, click participants. A new window is going to open up with the participant list. And you're going to have a chance to move these various windows and the control bar around until it looks like what you want. Okay. And then you've got to mute all attendees. You don't want to have muted them necessarily when they first came in, but that button is at the bottom of the participant window. And you want them all muted because now it's time to start. And this is not even a full detailed list. Again, it's probably 3 pages out of 7. But we didn't want to go on for hours and hours and hours. And I think we've been at it, Mike, for
about an hour.
Close to an hour.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, this is good. It's always amazing to me the level of detail, and it shouldn't amaze me, frankly, the level of detail that professionals go into when doing whatever they do, whether they're a presenter or they're a musician or they're an actor.
Exactly.
The greatness that they achieve is just doesn't magically appear. They don't have special skills that just make them as great as they are. They have a process. They have things they do every single time. There's consistency. That's how they got great, by doing all the things that are necessary to have greatness and doing it consistently time after time after time.
Yep.
And everybody who's listening can be great at this, right? Every single one of you can be great at this.
Absolutely. If you're really knowledgeable about a topic and then you're asked to present about it and you do things this way, people are going to say, wow, that was a notable difference in a time where everybody is sort of slouching towards some sort of democratic, nobody's in charge and it doesn't really matter kind of thing. Not at work. That's not the way to be effective.
I'm surprised at the number of people, professionals in organizations, both large and small, miss the opportunity to distinguish themselves from amongst their peers by how they present.
Well, I would go even further. I'm surprised. And, in our business, repeatedly being surprised is a bad thing. And what I'm surprised about frequently is the number of people who tell me that's how it's done and then are not willing to do hard work to do it differently, but then at the same time complain that they are not getting what they want out of their career. If you want to get more out of your career, and by that I mean more opportunities, more pay, a greater purview over more responsibilities, and so on, you are going to have to learn to do things differently and better than other people. That's part of the power the source of success of your organization. People want to individually achieve, and so they push the limits. They don't accept the norm. They don't accept the average. They don't accept that everybody will allow this to get by. If your company had a standard of, we hope that people will allow us to continue, you're going to be out of business in no time. Well, if your company has set high standards for itself, we aim to be the best at X or Y, or we aim to be, you know, the best metal forging company in the world. In fact, I was rooting around in the back seat of my car yesterday, and I found an umbrella. I have a red umbrella in the back of my red Mustang, just in case it rains while I'm putting up the top. And it's from Scott Forge, our friends at Scott Forge. They gave me an umbrella when I was there, and I thought about forging and casting and what the benefits of both, and the incredible tour, one of the greatest tours I ever got of any physical plant I've ever been to. As different as it was from an Intel chip fab, my tour, brief tour through the Scott Forge facility was really, really, it hit me very strongly to see the men and women making these forged massive pieces of molten metal. It was something. I mean, if you want to be great, if the individuals are not trying to be great, the organization won't be great. And presenting, as Mike says, is an opportunity for you to do that. You can't accept the status quo and then be surprised when your company is nothing but a status quo company. And if you want to be effective as a presenter in the time of social distancing and Zoom calls and so on, there are details worth getting right. We're not saying it's fun. We're not saying it's sexy. In fact, we know it's not sexy. We don't care. You don't get paid to do what's fun. You don't get paid to be happy. We get paid to be effective. And that means serving others. And to serve others, you have to show them a high level of respect. And the way you show a high level of respect is you master the details, which can make a difference and potentially derail a session. And so that means it's worth having your own checklist for something as prosaic as a Zoom presentation.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, partner.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.